1725 to order. First of all, we have a delete all amendment. I'd like to call Judge Littman from the Office of Administrative Hearings to talk a little bit about the delete all amendment and about how it affects OAH.
Chairman, members, senators, my name is Eric Littman. I'm an administrative law judge with the Minnesota Office of Administrative Hearings on behalf not only of the office but also of the chief administrative law judge, Tammy L. Proust, who, with regret, is out of the state today. I'm glad to answer any questions that you might have about this bill or rulemaking in general. From our perspective, Sections 1 and 7 are the key pieces of this legislation, namely authorization to permit our office to receive documents that are filed in the cases that we have, both contested cases and rulemaking cases, electronically, to bring us into this century. And so because the delete all amendment has Sections 1 and 7 in it, and there seemed to be the prospect, the high prospect of 6 conferees in support of that idea, the Chief Administrative Law Judge enthusiastically encourages your support of the DE because it would be very helpful to have 1 and 7 enacted into law.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Creasa.
And I'm just wondering if, and thank you for that, Mr. Judge, I'm wondering if Mr. Shepard could just walk us through the DE, or are you the one who put it together?
Mr. Shepard. Mr. Chair, members, I'm Mark Shepard from the House Research Department. I did put this together, but it wasn't really my initiative. It was more or less the scribe on this.
Mr. Chairman, I could try.
Just if we have a quick walkthrough, I think that'd be helpful.
Sure. So, Section 1, members, would permit the receipt of electronic documents, the receipt of documents in rulemaking matters, namely the materials, the exhibits that the agencies are using to support the promulgation of a particular rule. There are a variety of filings that they need to make, and I can show members the rules that of the documents that they need to file. But there are a series of exhibits that need to be submitted in order for them to prove up the lawfulness and appropriateness of a particular rule. This would allow folks to, or the agencies that are impacted, to file those with our office electronically so they can be integrated into our case management system. The benefit of that to the public is a couple of fold, if I can just take a second to talk about that, is it certainly reduces the staff costs in our office in handling what can be voluminous paper record in support of a rule. It allows us to share these documents widely with any stakeholder, wherever they might be in Minnesota. We can send them, you know, they come in PDF files most routinely. We can send them to International Falls and not require a stakeholder who would like to review either one exhibit or several to come to St. Paul to review a file in our office. We can easily dispatch them electronically. Likewise, it incents, and we can use the bully pulpit or encouragement, it is a best practice for the state agencies who are going through rulemaking to post these on the web. If they are filing them electronically, there isn't, I think, a good reason to make them all widely available on the agency websites. So for all of the kinds of reasons that Chapter 14 sets out, public access to documents, transparency, lots of eyes, accountability, the wisdom of the group, these are the fundamental building blocks that underlie Chapter 14 and give confidence in our system when executive branch agencies use lawmaking power, and we think that this particular provision adds to all of that. As to Section 2, at the end of the process, if a rule is approved, would file, so it can be available with the Secretary of State's office, various copies of the rules. Right now it's 4 paper copies. This would allow deposit electronically if the Secretary of State agrees, again, keeping with that with that same ethic. With Section 3, again, this has to go with the 4 paper copies and also a signed order. This can be done electronically if both the chief is able to do it and the Secretary of State downstairs. So again, a government efficiency, agency-to-agency piece. Section 4 is another reference to the paper copies or electronic copies. It appears several times in the statute, and so we're covering all of those. Section 5 is again relating to that same subject of the Secretary of State's receipt in a different different context. Namely, this is a rule that follows after a hearing. It's 14.26. The others were other kinds of provision. The next section, Section 6, relates to exempt rulemaking. If the rule is adopted, again, the electronic copy is the same practice with the Secretary of State office is authorized there. So conforming editorial changes in each of these. And Section 7, again, a key piece for us, is in a contested case, that between a government agency and a citizen, if there's litigation, and that's the other type of business the Administrative Law Division engages in on behalf of the state. We preside in those kinds of hearings. Similarly, people can, once the chief determines a set of protocols for our case management system, people can file directly, lawyers and litigators, just like they would do in the state courts, just like they would do in the federal courts, file directly from their computer onto our computer electronic documents. This is the way of the future. We want to be part of this century as well, and so 7 would help us out. 8 is an effective date provision that mainly after the notice of intent to adopt, which is a key milestone in the rulemaking process, the agency has finalized its ideas in rulemaking and has a specific proposal. For those notices of intent to adopt after January 1, 2016, and again, that's a sort of a clear calendar date, it's a clear milestone in the process date, it would be clear to stakeholders, we could educate people between now and January 1st, 2016, it's an excellent choice of a date, and brilliant drafting by Mr. Shepherd.
Thank you, Judge Littman. I'll officially move the DE amendment and then ask if any members have questions. Senator Scalzi.
Is there a reason, thank you, Mr. Chair, is there a reason, Judge, why Section 12 in UEH 1725-1 went to Section 5 in the delete all? Is there a reason? The language appears to be the same, but there it's in a different section. Is there a reason for that movement that I maybe don't understand? It was Section 12. In the original bill, it's Section 5 in the second bill.
Judge Littman.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scalzi, it's my understanding that there were some other provisions of the unofficial engrossment you're referring to that were taken out, and so it is, as we see in many amendments, renumber accordingly. And so I think what was Section 12 became Section 5 in the latest document as other pieces came out. Does that make sense?
Not really, but I accept it.
If you were to compare, Mr. Chairman, with Senator Scalzi, if you were to compare UEH 1725-1 with the delete all amendment, not all of the sections are the same. The first document is longer.
Right. Mr. Chairman. Senator Wicklund.
Mr. Chair, Judge Lipman, I was just wondering if you could comment on the language that wasn't retained. It seemed mainly to changing references from mail to send, and I just wondered if you could comment on will that change substantially your ability to. It was included in the original bill, and I just it's not being included in the delete all. And I just wondered if you could comment on whether that will have any effect on the agency.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wickman, in our view, I'll answer the second part first. No, I think it was intended as what we regarded as a helpful clarification of the statute. But I think in this situation and at this late hour, the better should not be an enemy of the good. And because there might be six conferee votes for something we think is darn good, that's much better than better.
Any other questions, discussion? We'll move to a vote on the DE1 amendment. All those in favor of the DE1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Thanks, Judge Lippman. And then I'll move to allow the revisor's office to make technical corrections as needed on the bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. I'd like to thank the members of both the House and the Senate for being willing to quickly come into a conference committee here and I think quickly work out the differences and put together a good report. So nobody else has anything else to say. Well,
Mr. Chair, thank you. I appreciate your gathering together your thoughts on the bill and making the changes that you requested and negotiating with Judge Lippman. I'm glad that we came together and agreeable bill for the Office of Administrative Hearings. So thank you.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering if we need a second vote just on the bill as now amended.
Mr. Shepherd?
We voted on it as a DE1, but do we need a second vote?
Mr. Chair and members, I understood the vote on the DE to be that the conferees were agreeing to accept the language of the DE as the report of the conference committee. And if that is all your understanding, then I don't think you need another vote.
Very good.
Okay. And with that, we'll call this meeting adjourned.